Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Certainly there was another way. Even though the deaf and mute man's friends brought him to Jesus, asking the Lord to lay his hand on the man, they never could have imagined this kind of laying on of hands. This is not the kind of Jesus to capture in a cute painting or put on a greeting card. It's awkward. To heal the deaf and tongue-tied man, Jesus doesn't quite lay a hand on him, not a whole hand anyway. Instead, taking him aside, Jesus puts his fingers into the deaf man's ears and spitting, St. Mark doesn't record where, pressed a finger onto his tongue. Looking up into heaven with a sigh, Jesus commanded the ears and the tongue, "Ephatha," that is, be opened. So the man's deaf ears were opened, and his bound tongue was loosed to speak freely. That's not a very popular picture of Jesus. There's no poem framed that you can hang on your wall that bemoans the times in life when it's difficult to hear, only to look back and to discover in retrospect that that's when Jesus had his fingers in your ears. There's no pious prayer that asks Jesus into your ears or dedicates your tongue to him. It's popular to want a relationship with Jesus, but rarely the kind described in sacred scripture. The relationship with Jesus that's popular is the one where he'll be a friend like your fishing buddies. He'll laugh at your dumb jokes and share a couple of light beers with you. Or the one you can share all your hopes and dreams with, your fears and foibles with Jesus, just like with your girlfriends. Or the kind where Jesus will befriend you and encourage you without judging you or caring too much about your seemingly insignificant vices and sins. But what about this relationship? The one where Jesus jabs his fingers into your ears and presses a finger onto your tongue. No, you wanted a neat and tidy relationship, not an invasion of your personal bubble. This Jesus, admittedly the historical Jesus, the unimagined Jesus, is intrusive. You want some Jesus, but not like this. Not rude and offensively in your personal space. You want some religion too, but not like this. You want the kind of religion that functions like a social club, the kind that everyone who's anyone belongs to. You want the kind of religion that doesn't ask too much of you, either from your wallet or your lifestyle. You want the kind of religion that fits into its own compartment, that's worth about an hour a week and little more. Not the kind that invades and affects every aspect of your life. You want some religion, but not like this. Not intrusive. Not demanding your whole self. Not calling you to be someone different from whom you naturally are. Just because your eardrums vibrate and your tongues wag does not mean that ears and lips work as they were intended. What good are ears that work if they are filled with the venom that flows freely from the mouths of friends or co-workers, degrading others, telling of weekend exploits and conquests, spreading rumors, true or false, hurting others' reputations? What good are eardrums that vibrate, ear bones that rattle, ears that hear, if they don't vibrate, rattle, and resonate with the Word of God? Whether they hear or not, ears that are not filled with the Word of God might as well be deaf as this man's in the Gospel reading. What good are lips and tongues that can craft perfect syllables when those syllables are put into words used to inflict hurt on your spouse, to yell at your children, to talk back to your parents? What good are vocal cords that can shape pitch and inflection into very intricate sounds if those sounds are used to spread gossip, to hurt reputations, to whisper to yourself your self-righteous fantasies? What good are tongues that are free from impediment if they are not used to speak words of forgiveness and comfort to those who have wronged you, to defend and speak well of those being gossiped about. What good are lips that pour forth intelligible sounds if those sounds are not used to catechize your children, to teach them the faith both by instruction and by example? What good are vocal cords that vibrate freely if they don't vibrate with prayer, praise, and thanksgiving? Whether they speak words or not, tongues not proclaiming the word of God might as well be as bound as this man's in the gospel reading. The problem is deeper than your ears or your tongue. They may be instruments of sin and wickedness, but they are not the source. Out of the abundance of the heart, diagnosed the physician who healed the deaf man. The mouth speaks. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. The infection runs throughout you. Speaking, you do not speak the word of God. Hearing, you do not hear the word of God. Repent. This infection runs to your very core, into your very nature. But so does the cure. Jesus didn't just stick his fingers into the man's ears and his mouth to heal him. He went deeper. He took the man's entire humanity onto himself. He, the very Word of God, the eternal, uncreated Word of God, who was with the God in the beginning, who is God, through whom everything was created, took more than just the man's ears or tongue. He took more than just your dead ears and your lifeless tongue. He took complete human flesh, complete, unspoiled by sin human nature. That's intrusive, invasive, an imposition in the personal space of all men. God became man, took on human flesh, but it was the only solution. The incarnate, enfleshed Word of God took all of humanity's sinfulness upon himself, and he suffered every consequence, every punishment for that sin. His ears were deaf, his tongue silent, his heart stopped as he died on the cross. Jesus could have healed the deaf man with the inability to speak through any means that he chose. But he chose to work through very particular, admittedly peculiar means, very tactile means. The press of his fingers into ears and onto a tongue, the wetness of his spittle. He could deliver faith and forgiveness of sins through any way that he might choose, but he has appointed very specific means. Faith is not what you conjure up from within yourself, a decision for Jesus, a commitment to God, or any such pious pretension. Faith comes from outside of you, stuck quite literally into your ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. It's what ears were made for, to hear the word of God. The solution is even more invasive, more intrusive, more in your personal space than the problem. Jesus has opened up your ears to hear his word. He has opened up your ears with the ephatha of holy baptism, creating life from death, creating hearing where there was only deafness, creating speech where there was only babbling before. He delivers his forgiveness as he takes you aside, apart from the crowd, and has his minister place his hand on your head, right in your personal space, so that there's no mistaking for whom these words are spoken. I forgive you. And the word of God presses more than a finger onto your tongue. He presses his body onto your tongue. He pours his blood down your throat for the forgiveness of your sins. Be opened. Continue to hear the word of God for you. Be loosed. Continue to declare the wonderful things God has done and does for you right here. He has done all things well. He even makes your deaf ears able to hear his word and your mute tongue able to pray to him and praise him for his gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.